Thank you, Annetta, for sharing with us. Annetta and I enjoy hiking, and it started with one of you. You introduced us to the falls, and since that first hike, we decided we would hike every falls, and so as we have the opportunity, we'll share with you some more pictures. What an awesome opportunity to see on Sabbath afternoons or on vacation trips the beautiful pictures of the falls. You know, I will never forget when I went to Pacific Union College. That was a turning point in my life because as I came to Pacific Union College, I was a Seventh-day Adventist. And it was there at Pacific Union College, that Christian college, that I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. You've heard me say that. And there was a teacher, and that teacher loved Jesus Christ. There was something about him that drew me. He knew something that I didn't know. I knew the doctrines. I knew the truth. I knew what was right. I knew what was wrong. But I didn't have what that teacher had. And there was something that moved me there. I was so disappointed with my life. I didn't have any direction or purpose. I didn't know what to do. I was just kind of taking general courses. What am I going to do with my life? I was like Lindsay. What am I going to do? Lord, help me. And I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this Bible class. It's part of the requirement, Life and Teachings of Jesus. And I'll take the class, but I don't care about the grade. But I care about finding out if there really is a Jesus Christ. If really God is for real. Because God, I know about you. I know your Bible truths. I'm ready to and prepared to set people straight. But I don't know you, and I'm frustrated about that. Because I've seen other people like my Bible teacher that had something that I didn't have. And so I did the assignments. I did the assignments. And someday I'll give you more details of that. But it was there on the second floor of Pacific Union College library that I said yes to Jesus Christ. And since that time, that desire came in me, Lord, you are my Savior, my Lord. Now, how can I get to know you? How can I have a meaningful time alone with you, a Bible study, get to know you? Has that ever been a question in your life? That you said, I know that the most important thing is that I should get to know Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. And how do I get to know Jesus Christ? Through His Word. What do I do? How do I do it? And so a good part of the journey of my spiritual walk has been to find a meaningful time alone with God, a devotional plan, which I want to share with you today. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to share with you a new way to study the Bible. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Pastor Ken, I've already got a Bible study plan. Praise the Lord. Good. Maybe you got a friend that needs to know one. You can share this with them. There are new converts here today who have recently been baptized, or you're part of our family night, or you're visiting with us, and you are looking for a Bible study, a way to get to know Jesus Christ. Or maybe you have been a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church or any church for many years, for 20, 30 years, and you've used the same Bible study plan for years, and you're ready for a new one. Well, try this one. Try this one. I want to share with you what we would call maybe a four-step plan. A four-step plan. And it's right, actually, in your outline, right in your bulletin today. You notice the bulletin there? As you open it up, is the outline here. A new way to study the Bible. Try this one here. You want to follow that as you would choose to do so. And if you want to take notes, you're welcome to do that. Number one, preparation. Number two, read. Number three, study. Number four, share. Very simple. And that's what really made a difference for me. And so let's begin. The steps that we want to take to find a meaningful time alone with God, more than just gathering information, but gathering an opportunity that we can get to know Jesus Christ in a more meaningful way, is number one, preparation. Preparation. You recall those words in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, which we're not going to read, but there it says, you desire the sincere milk of the word, whereby you may grow. You desire the sincere milk of the word. You desire that. You want it. You desire it. But right now, I want you to take a look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Often we don't read the verse before it. Notice what it says. Lay aside all malice. That's not a word we use too often. You know what it means? It means all evil. And all guile, that's deceit or lying. And hypocrisies, that's phoniness. And envies. And all evil speakings, that's talking behind someone's back. In other words, put these aside, verse 1 says, and then desire the sincere milk of the word. You notice the sequence here? That's very important. Listen carefully. Before we can study the Bible, before we can read the Bible and hear the voice of God speak to our minds and our hearts and have a meaningful time alone with God, God is inviting us to do something that the Bible calls sin. To do something about sin in our lives. In order for us to come into the very presence of God and hear His voice, if there is sin in our lives, friends, as long as our mind and our heart, that there is something cluttered there, unconfessed sin, we're never going to have the opportunity to adequately grow and to have that meaningful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So preparation involves purification. It involves an acknowledgement of our sins. And if we don't deal with unconfessed sin in our lives, then we're going to notice something about our communication with God. There's something not happening. And that reminds me of an experience that I had when I was dating a young lady. I don't know if I'd share this with you, Anetta, but I was dating this young lady, and I was at PUC, and she was at Loma Linda. It was kind of a long-range dating arrangement. And well, we had a misunderstanding over the phone, and we weren't communicating. And it was almost time to break up. I just sensed something was happening. And the next day, when it all happened, you see, the next day I had a 5-point quiz, which usually I did pretty good in Greek class. Greek class. 5-point quiz. 5 words, 5 simple words I had to study for. But because that was on my mind, this separation between her and me, we just weren't communicating, I flunked the quiz. And you know, I thought about that homely illustration, and the same thing happens between you and us in our relationship between God when there's sin in our lives that hasn't been made right. And so I have a question for you as you think about your time alone with God. How meaningful is your time alone with God if there is unconfessed sin in your life? If you are honest, you know that there's something missing there. There's an uncomfortableness there. You can't enter in the joy of His presence. You can't openly talk with Him until you're honest with Him. I think of the words in a book called Prophets and Kings. And it says this on page 233, Prophets and Kings. Sin not only shuts away God, but destroys in the human soul the desire and capacity for knowing Him. Wow, sin can actually do that? So preparation is important. As we would have a time alone with God, as we would seek to know Jesus Christ through His Word, as we would give an opportunity for God to speak to us through His Word, we need to first of all prepare so that we can really hear His voice. I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke the 15th chapter, Luke chapter 15. How do we actually search the Scriptures? Well, I would suggest that we first read and then we study. Now maybe someone here today, Pastor Ken, to be honest with you, I don't know how to read. Okay, that's okay. Believe it or not, the Bible today is on tape. It is on tape cassette. It is on CD. You can listen to the Bible. But if you know how to read, then study. And I find it very interesting. Jesus gave a parable. You're familiar with it. Luke chapter 15 and verses 8 and 9. Follow with me as you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." How many times I've read this parable, and there's just so many nuggets of truth, and I look forward to talking about it in the future. But, you know, as I've studied this parable, I see this woman looking for a coin. Anybody here ever lost a coin? Raise your hand. I expect everybody to raise your hand. I lost a lot of coins, and I couldn't find them. But the floors, in the time that this story was given, the floors were dirt floors. I mean, it's hard enough to find a coin when things are not a dirty floor, but here, a dirt floor, looking for that coin. And I can see her. Can you? Can you imagine? First of all, she scans the room. She scans the room, the whole room, looking for the coin. And if that doesn't work, then she looks at it section by section. And she notes where she walked, and she moves aside some soil, and finally, she finds the coin, and she rejoices that she has found. Well, what does this story or parable have anything to do about studying the Word of God? Well, I think it does. The principles are there, friends. It is there. First of all, when it comes to the Word of God, we need to first read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. In other words, just get acquainted, an overview of what is there. Look at what's there, and then study the Word of God. Dig into it. So first read, then study. So we begin to read. I want to invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah the 28th chapter. We need to set aside time, ideally, every day as we seek to have a time alone with God. And I'll be willing to admit to you as I look at my spiritual journey as a Christian that a good part of my life, I have been trying to find a meaningful time alone with God. I've had all different kinds of times alone, all kinds of Bible study plans. I would listen to tapes and sermons. I would talk with friends and see what they were doing in order to find something that meant a lot to me, was meaningful to me. And I used to struggle with reading the Bible, and I'd read it, and the next day I forgot what I read about. That was a bit frustrating. I guess I kind of was piling up tremendous ignorance and spending lots of time doing it. So what I would do out of my frustration is I just kind of set it aside. I'd set it aside. Nobody knew. Only God knew. And yet His Spirit would talk to me and say, "Ken, you know, you and I need to communicate. We need to talk. We need to spend time together." And I realized that my time alone with God was important, and I loved the Lord, and I wanted to serve the Lord, but I was just frustrated about how to do it, how to get to know Jesus through the Word of God. And so I talked to Christians like myself and like you, and I'd learned some things from you, and I'd learned some things from you and other people, and little by little, things that I read, I decided that one of the things that would help me to learn and to get to know Jesus better was repetition. Repetition. Right here in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. Do you have it there? Familiar words of Scripture. "For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." I looked that up in the Paraphrase Bible. It's the Living Bible. You may have it at home. It goes like this. He tells us everything over and over and over again, a line at a time, in such simple words. Most of us have had the experience in our lifetime of studying for a test. One of the most recent individuals in our church family who studied for a big test was Michelle Tilley. And praise the Lord, she passed. She is an official in nursing, and we're so proud of her. And I'll tell you how Michelle studied, just the same way you and I study. She reviewed it again and again and again and again until she got it down. Repetition, repetitious, you see. Repetition helps. Well, I realized that, and so I began to see, okay, study the Bible repetitiously. And so I decided to start with the Gospel of Mark. And I would suggest that if you're searching for some meaningful time alone with God, start with Mark. Mark is the one gospel that has most of the stories and most of the parables that Jesus gave, and they're short, they're brief, they're right to the point. And it's probably one of the most concise narrative stories of the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ of all the gospels. So I'd suggest that you start there. And this is how you do it. Suggestion. Take the Gospel of Mark and read chapters 1, 2, and 3, for example. And I'll talk about translations of the Bible in a few moments. But anyway, you read through chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the Gospel of Mark. And that's it. You have a word of prayer, you talk with the Lord, and then you go about your everyday life. And so the first day you read, what? The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 2, and 3. The second day, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 2, and 3. The third day, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 2, and 3. The fourth day, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 2, and 3. All the way through the seventh day. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 2, and 3. And you do that every day for 30 days. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 2, and 3. And at the end of 30 days, you will know about the Gospel of Mark, chapters 1, 2, and 3. It is that simple. Now, one of the major purposes of studying the Word of God is not just to study the Word of God, not just to go through the mechanics of studying the Word of God, not just to gather information. I used to do that when I was a Seventh-day Adventist, but when I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I said, no, I don't want to just gather information. I want to get to know Christ. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know what God the Father is like in a relationship with Him. I want to know how I can keep my focus on Jesus Christ. And so, as I began this plan of Bible study here, after the first week of Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, 2, and 3, I began to then answer seven questions. And those of you that came into church today, I noticed the deacons were handing you a little half sheet. Take a look at that half sheet. Because here are some questions that I would suggest that after the first week you begin to answer. It's entitled, How to Enrich Your Relationship with Jesus Christ and Personal Bible Study, Section 1. When studying each chapter, seven questions should be kept in mind and prayerfully considered. Notice what these seven questions are. What is the theme of the chapter? What is the key verse of the chapter? What verse would you choose for memorization from the chapter? Now, this is very important. What things do you learn about God the Father from this chapter? What things do you learn about Jesus Christ from this chapter? What do you learn about the Holy Spirit from the chapter? And what do you learn about other characters from the chapter? And so those are questions that you would want to ask as you come to the Word of God. After the first week of reading every day the Gospel of Mark chapters what? 1, 2, and 3. Then you turn to that sheet, you begin to answer those questions. But not only that, you also, at the end of the week, you begin to apply it. You seek to personalize it. And that's section number 2. This whole section, personalizing the Bible, has been transforming for my life. It has helped me to put the Bible into everyday life and to apply it to my life. Take a look at number 3, for example. apply or personalize what you study. Are there any actions I can follow? Injunctions I can obey? Sins I must confess? Examples I can follow? And so I'd like to suggest that at the end of the first week of your reading the Gospel of Mark chapters 1, 2, and 3, that you seek to prayerfully answer those seven questions and you apply and personalize them as well. And also after the first week, this is important, you write down your answers. You write it down on paper and you share it with someone. And that is so important. But I want to talk about that more later. But what we have learned so far in just practical time alone with God Bible study is, number one, repetition is important. Number two, reading, for example, chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the Gospel of Mark for 30 days. And the first week, you read, and then as you just begin the second week, you begin to answer those seven questions. You begin to answer, you also apply it, and you share with other people. And your objective, again, is not so much to gather information, but your objective is you want to get to know Christ. You want to fall in love with Jesus again and again. Now, after 30 days, there is one thing certain. You are going to know something about the Gospel of Mark, chapters 1, 2, and 3. In fact, around the 10th day, you're going to say, well, I've got this down all right. I don't need to go on. I don't need to keep on going. I've got this thing down. But I want to encourage you to keep going. Keep going, because it's interesting. As you and I keep on going and dig down deeper, we will see there are nuggets of truth there that we never found before. The Holy Spirit will enable you and me to find things that we never knew that were there. Now, ideally, it's helpful to divide the book into sections. If there are 16 chapters, you can divide it up into maybe, I'm going to read maybe 4 chapters, or I'm going to read 3 chapters. You decide, but do it consistently. And I find that as I read the Bible, there are some books that have long chapters, and you need to be realistic. It may be well to, rather than reading 3 or 4 chapters, read 2 chapters. You decide, but something consistent. Now, when you're through with the Gospel of Mark after 30 days, then go on to another Gospel and do the same thing, same principle. One Christian read the Gospel of John in 90 days, in 3 months, repetitiously, and at the end of the 90 days, he said this, if someone asks me where the woman at the well, yeah, that's chapter 4. If someone asks me about Nicodemus, that's chapter 3. If someone asks me about the bread of life, that's chapter 6. If someone asks me about the good shepherd, that's chapter 10. If someone asks me about the scripture, I am the vine, you are the branches, that's chapter 15. If someone asks me about the intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ, that's chapter 17. Jesus captured, taken captive in the garden, that's chapter 18. Chapter 21, that's when Peter was restored. And then he went on to say, he said, well, I'm no scholar. I read it 90 times. What do you expect? You know, if you and I, as Christians, are called by God to read His Word, wouldn't it be wise for us to understand it? And maybe this could be a plan that would help us. Before you know it, in your thinking, in your mind, the Holy Spirit will help you to cross-reference. You say, oh, I know where that is. That's in Philippians chapter 2. Oh, I know where that is. That's in Matthew 24. Oh, I know where that is. That's in Luke chapter 15. And you won't have to be anymore so much what they call a concordance cripple. Going to the concordance, trying to find the word in order to find where the scripture is. Praise the Lord for concordances. We'll talk about those in a moment. But above all, friends, I underline this in red, white, and blue. Above all, why are you doing this? Why are we suggesting a time alone with God? It is so that we can really have a meaningful time seeking to know Jesus Christ. And as we do this, we will come to know Christ as our Savior and God as our Father and God the Holy Spirit in a more meaningful relationship. The Holy Spirit will reveal things about God and all the Trinity in a way that we've never seen it before. Now let me say something about translations of the Bible. Many of us in our church family, I would trust, we read the King James Version. That's one of my study Bibles for sure, the King James Version. But there are many people today who, though they love the King James Version, and it's a good translation of the Bible, they want a translation that speaks the language of the 21st century. And so I would encourage you, as you have translations of the Bible, that you have at least three that you can study and use and read. Here's one that has helped me a lot, a word-for-word translation of the Bible. It's called the New Century Version of the Bible, sometimes called the Everyday Bible, the New Century Version of the Bible. The New International Version, the NIV, most of us are familiar with that. And if you want a translation of the Bible that is the closest to the original, one of the best out there, maybe not as easy to understand, but it's closest to the original, it's the American Standard Version of the Bible. Now, during the first 2 weeks you are reading, the first week you read it, the second week you read it, and you begin to answer the questions, the seven questions, and you seek to apply it, and you share with others what you're learning. And then the next 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of the month, in other words, the third and the fourth week of the month, then you begin to study it. You dig deeper. And there are two ways I would suggest that we can study the Bible, the Word of God. And the first way, very simply, you're acquainted with it, it's the verse-by-verse method of Bible study. The verse-by-verse method of Bible study. And on the back of that little half sheet that you received as you came in today, section 3, are some questions that those of us that really want to study the Bible, now we're ready to study, we want to get into it, we want to get deeper into it, here are some questions you can seek to answer. What is happening here? Who really is involved? Where is it taking place? When does it occur? Why is it in the Bible? Those are questions you can ask. And so during the last 2 weeks of those 30 days, you're going to go through a verse-by-verse study. You're going to get deeper into it. And during that time, you'll begin to use some reference books. And I'll talk about reference books in a few moments. But now there's another way to study the Bible. Rather than going the verse-by-verse method of Bible study, you can study the Bible by subject. And you notice lately I preached a sermon or two or three on prayer. I started studying the Bible by subject, by prayer. Have you ever studied all the prayers of the Bible? And you can go about so many prayers and you do it repetitiously, just the same principle. And then ultimately the last 2 weeks of the month you do it, you get into an in-depth study. You can study the prayers of the Apostle Paul. You can study the prayers of Jesus Christ. I took several months studying Christ's walk to Calvary. It has turned out to be my favorite study. I love to study Christ's walk to Calvary and following the same principles that I'm sharing with you here. Or life sketches of some of the disciples of Jesus and characters in the Bible. I want to share with you some reference books that you will find helpful in your personal library as you're seeking to study. And if you study the Bible topically, if you're going to study it topically, not verse by verse, but topically, a very good, and it's right here in your notes, it's called Knave's Topical Bible. It's the topical index. Take, for example, you said, I'm going to study what the Bible teaches about forgiveness. That's a wonderful subject, isn't it? Forgiveness. And you can go to Knave's Topical Index. And you can go there and you can look up forgiveness. And it will not just give you where the verse is, but it'll show you where all the whole passages within the Bible that speak of forgiveness. And you can read the same principles that I shared with you about forgiveness. The topical Bible. Now it's good to have a good concordance. And not necessarily the one that's in the back of your Bible, as helpful as that is, but it's good to have a good one. Two good concordances are Cruden's Concordance or Young's Concordance. Those are good ones to have. And then it's also important to have Bible commentary. As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we can be thankful that we have a series of Bible commentaries that are some of the finest in conservative Christianity. And I would highly recommend that if you can't have the Bible commentary set of 12 volumes or so, that at least you get Volume 5. Volume 5, which is the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Volume 5. It gives a basic explanation for each verse in the Bible. Very practical. When you want to study, that's the book to open up and help you to really study then the Word of God. Matthew or Mark chapter 1, 2, and 3, for example. Lastly, you need to get some reference books. Some reference books. And as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we are so thankful for the writings of Ellen G. White. These books are so helpful as we study a subject. Say, for example, if I'm going to be studying Mark chapter 1, 2, and 3, and on the third and the fourth week, and I want to get into study, one of my reference books would be a book called Desire of Ages. And I would, first of all, read from the Bible, and then I would go to the Desire of Ages that speak about Mark chapter 1, 2, and 3, and find that very, very helpful. However, Ellen White, I think, sometimes would actually turn over in her grave if she realized how some Adventists have read her writings. Rather than reading the Bible, some Adventists read her writings instead. Ellen White never meant for her writings to come before the Bible. The Bible is the final authority. Well, we can get some other books in the library. Books, reference books that have to do with the subject that you're studying or the book of the Bible that you're studying. Reference books. Listen to good tapes. We have a tape ministry at our church. You're acquainted sometimes with certain tapes where someone has talked on a certain subject or maybe a verse-by-verse study of those passages. Get those tapes. Listen to those tapes as well. Good reference library is so helpful to have. Now, it's not uncommon for many times as Christians, we get storybooks and we read stories of Christians of the past. And that's good and right. That has its place. But we need to especially get books that are reference books that we can refer to again and again and again and again. That'll help us to get into the Word. One of the greatest temptations that I have, and I know I look into the faces of many others that have, is this. We read a lot about the Bible, but we don't read the Bible. Are you with me? Understand what I'm saying? Often we read lots of books, good books, about the Bible, but we're not in the Word. God would invite us to be in the Word of God. There's one other thing that I want you to remember when studying the Bible. And it's very, very important. While you are reading and studying through that whole 30-day process, I would highly suggest that you find someone else to share your inspiration, to share your information, the gut nuggets of truth that you're learning. Find someone else. And so throughout that time, you're sharing this information with them, and they're being benefited. And you write down the answers to these questions that are on that half sheet. Write those down, and at the end of each week, you share with your friend or group the answers. And ideally, again, at the end of each week, you share. And this is how it works. Choose a partner or partners. Now, that could be a family member, husband and wife. Or the whole family could do it as a family worship. If you're a young person and you're dating someone, what a wonderful way to get to know that young lady and that young lady get to know you. Share with one another what you're learning. Go through this process together. Or have a small group where the whole group is accountable to one another as they're studying this. I would pray and long that our church family here at Sutherland would have a small group that followed maybe this format. Couples who are separated by military service Or maybe you're they're working down here and you're here for a while. You can email each other. You can go by correspondence. You can share with each other. I don't know. They're just the sky's the limit. But find someone. You know why it's helpful to find someone? Because that someone or someones helps you to be accountable. Accountable. It helps you to stick to it. Helps you to stay with it. Because you know that they are expecting you to share, and you're expecting them to share what the Lord has shown you. And it's interesting that as I've done this over the years at times, that as you listen to your friend or that group as they share, they will have some thoughts that are different from what you read. Are they wrong and you right? No, not necessarily. The Holy Spirit has spoken to them in a way that it brings new nuggets and insights that you're not even familiar with. And so write those down. Let the Bible come to life. And so sharing information with someone, it's a great motivation to keep you studying, help you stay with it. It demands a certain discipline. And in turn, it helps you to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what do you think? Is this a form of Bible study that might help you as you go forward in your walk in Jesus, getting to know Him better? Number one, preparation, prayer and confession. Number two, read chapters 1, 2, and 3, for example, for 2 weeks. And then number three, study. Study the third and the fourth week. Begin to study. Get down deeper into it. And throughout every week, at the end of each week, share. Share what you've learned. Now, this may not be a form of Bible study that you would enjoy or benefit from. And that's okay. But I am here today to share with you that if there's ever a time we need to get to know Jesus, we need to draw closer to the Lord, we need to be in His Word, it's now. And we need to find a time alone with God. Remember this. Remember these words. Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is no deeper than your time alone with God. Let's pray. Precious Father in heaven, we thank You for the honor and the privilege that You have given to us to be able to communicate with You. You talk to us through Your Word, and we respond as we talk with You in prayer. Lord, help us to sit at Your feet and to listen to You speak to us through Your Word. And if this may be a Bible study plan that might be practical for someone, Lord, bless them. Help them to stick with it. And help them to see that if they would search out for someone else that they can share with their learning, that it would help them to stick with it that much more. I pray, Lord, that in these last days of Earth's history, that our church family would draw closer to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.